Before the podcast starts today, I want to let you know that it does include some strong language and a frank discussion of male sexuality. So if you've got some little ears around, you might want to give them something else to do or put off listening to us until they're somewhere else. Welcome to the Bariatric Bros Podcast. I'm Mike Alley. I am a foodie and a big guy who lost over 140 pounds with bariatric surgery, and I'm no longer a big guy, but I'm still a foodie. We spend time talking about living that bariatric life and eating like men. I hope that you are having a great day. Thanks for spending some time with me as recording this here in the northeast of the U.S. It is chilly. We are full into to fall temps right now, and I am enjoying a lovely warm coffee to get things rolling and keep me energized. Although I honestly don't need a lot of energy for today's podcast, I'm really excited because we've got part two of our conversation with Kirk Hunt, one of what I call the original OG bariatric guys. Had his procedure done in the early part of 2013. So coming up on 8 years since he had his procedure done, he's still extremely active in the bariatric community. If you have not heard the first part of our conversation, go back to our last episode and check that out. And this is the second half. I'm, like I said, really excited about the time I got to spend with Kirk and talking with him about everything he's been through. We're going to take a little deeper dive into some of the support group activities that Kirk's a part of and more. I think you're going to love it. It's going to be great. And we're going to talk a little bit about sex after bariatric surgery and what happens with guys and being able to, you know, talk openly about that kind of thing. It's something that a lot of you have messaged me about wanting to know just more about that, like what happens, what is happening to yourself during this time and after the procedure. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we've got some other things planned for some upcoming episodes as well. Speaking of that, and upcoming episodes and more stuff, I hope that you will like, follow, share, and review this podcast. It helps others to get to know that we're here when you like, follow, and review it. And then I hope that you'll share it, whether you're on listening to us on our page at bariatricbros.com or through your favorite podcast app. You've got some share feature on there where you can share it out on your socials or share it with friends. And I wish that you would do that so that we've got more people listening. And speaking of sharing, I hope that you'll share with us on our socials. Yep, all of our social media is at Bariatric Bros, so you can find us there, especially on Instagram and Facebook. Those are our two biggest hangouts, but we'd love to hear from you. Well, this week, our Bariatric Bros shout-out goes to a great guy, and I've been following him in the weight loss community probably, I guess, since I started. He was one of the first guys that I saw on social media, and that is Gregory. Now, a lot of you know Gregory's Instagram account because, one, he's got just like one of the best beards in the business. So first off, if you want to go to the show notes, we've got his handle in there. But the other reason that I really enjoy following him, one, not only is he super motivational and super positive and just kind of keeps things going, he keeps it real, but he does keep everybody energized and positive. This dude makes some of the best food ever. Oh my gosh. I just see his pictures and I get hungry. I'm getting hungry thinking about it right now. But if you go to his Instagram and check it out, he's got some amazing pictures of the food that he creates, and it's just wonderful. So positivity, food, amazing beard. That's why you should follow Gregory, and that's why he gets our Bariatric Bros shout out this week. Speaking of food, of course, we have been doing our Choffle of the Week thanks to Steve I, the Choffle Guy, who is our Choffle Chef, who makes us an exclusive Choffle of the Week each week here for the Bariatric Bros. And this week, It's the pizza chaffle. Yes, it is the pizza chaffle. I was just talking to my wife this week about cravings. I've never been a guy who had cravings, mainly probably because I never was hungry. You know, I was always eating all the time. But since the surgery, there is only one thing I crave, and that is pizza. It's not just like, I'm jonesing for a little pizza. It is really a thing of, I can't think of anything else until I get that kind of pizza taste. I just love it. I always have, but I even more so now. So the pizza chaffle, I'm just looking at this picture. I'm thinking about stopping the podcast right now to go make one and then come back. I probably won't, but it's really good. So here's the deal. We've got it in the show notes. It's going to be on our Instagram and our Facebook. You can find all the chaffles and all the recipes there. And of course, you can follow Steve I, the chaffle guy, on Facebook and Instagram as well to find his other great chaffle recipes. As I said at the start of the podcast, I'm very excited to share the second part of my conversation with the original bariatric OG, Kirk Hunt. Kirk had his procedure back in January of 2013 and has done an amazing job of staying the course, staying focused. We talked a lot on the last podcast about focus and intention and where you go. This part of it, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff he's been doing in the community, and a lot of that has been moderating what sometimes I call the, I think about it as boards, I'm a little old school that way, but some of the support groups, especially on Facebook. And where I first came across Kirk was a support group for men only on Facebook called the Bariatric Bad Boys Group, and it's a little different than some of the other groups, but I talked to Kirk about his activity and him getting involved in these groups and having more men a part of them.
More and more people started joining these groups, and more guys started coming to the groups. And they were kind of led there because they may have been pointed in the direction of their own surgical center support group, or they may have stumbled across a few of the more generic co-ed support groups. And there's a lot of times in these groups that are heavily, heavily dominated by women. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I would definitely be the first to say that even though there is some overlap in shared experiences, there are some pretty significant differences. For one thing, it's hard enough to get a guy to talk about his feelings about anything. Now ask this guy to start talking about his feelings about being overweight. Now let's start asking him to talk about his feelings about having weight loss surgery. It's a little bit different, or maybe it is a lot different than these more co-ed groups, because some of the topics that are kind of the primary topics du jour for the co-ed groups, or the groups that are heavily dominated by the women in the group, are things that guys just won't necessarily relate to very much. So there was a need for maybe a guy's only place, not only for guys, but you know, in those groups, women started talking about how their breasts were saggy or whatever. If a guy starts talking about his genitalia in one of those groups, all of a sudden that it could be dangerous, right? Especially during Me Too movements and things like that. People are being extra cautious, you know, in how they kind of discuss sexuality and our parts, you know, in groups of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the surgical group that I'm part of, I'm very careful, you know, when a woman posts something, especially when it's not an overtly sexual picture, but they're doing a face-to-face or something with something, and they can't, I can't believe I'm so sexy in this, and you know, like you said, look at how my breasts look or something like that. I'm like,
Can
I like that? I shouldn't like that, right? that's weird for me to like that, that, you know, or go, right. Hey, girl,
you know I'm like, taken.
That seems weird to me. It's like, no, I'm just not even going there.
Exactly. So then there were groups that sort of morphed into like maybe like I think I have a admin on one of the gastric sleeve men's groups. This is this gastric sleeve men's group. That one's going to be real heavy about, you know, guys talking about, okay, I'm having surgery or I've had the surgery. You know, did you guys start working out right away? And, you know, what's your gym routine and what are you eating? So it was still very much focused around sort of like that kind of just
the mechanics,
you know, exercise, diets, the mechanics, right? There wasn't still a lot of feelings. And when somebody would bring up feelings in some of those things, a lot of times they would get attacked by some of the other men. So if the guy started talking about, you know, his sex drive, or if a guy started talking about their penis looking bigger or longer, you know, anything that involved feelings or their junk or anything, guys were like, we don't want to hear about this, or we don't, you're like, dude, that's gross, or you're, you know, you're sick, or, you know, keep that to yourself. You know, we're here to talk about, you know, the gym and food. We don't want to hear about, you know, what you think about your whatever. And guys would be, they'd even post pictures of themselves, you know, thinking, hey, look, this is what I look like in my, you know, new underwear, or here's my progress. They're like, dude, put some fucking clothes on, you know, and
right.
You know, just shaming people just for finally kind of opening up a little bit and not, mm-hmm. you know, being just so, you know, whatever. So mm-hmm. bariatric bad boys was sort of then found it to be a little bit more R or X rated for guys to not worry about be able to talk about their feelings, but also being able to talk about their sexuality, being able to talk about their bodies the same way women do. But in a safe space where it's like, you're not going to be accused of being, you know, fill in the blank. There's a lot of homophobia out in the world still. And even you would think with some of these guys who know what it's feel like, who knows what it feels like to be a quote unquote other, right? Or to be kind of cast aside for just being who they are. You would think there would be a little bit more compassion towards guys that want to talk about their sexuality, or guys that are bisexual, or guys that are homosexual, without a ton of judgment. And in some of these groups, there was a lot of judgment and a lot of shame, and it really turned people off who were finally freaking acknowledging that they're feeling good about themselves. And they just needed a place to where they could do that without fear of being chastised. So bariatric bad boys, that's why it's kind of like the bad boy title, mm-hmm. is just that. It's like, that's the place where you can go and talk about, hey, the pad, you know, my pubic pad or fupa, whatever you want to call it, right. has gone down. I'm pretty sure I've gained a few inches. Does this happen to everyone? Pretty much happens at least once a week. Some new person's going to post about their dick being bigger, thicker, stronger, longer, hurting their wife, hurting their partner, pretty much every week. And of course, you know, we have a bunch of fun memes for those. It's like, oh, okay, it's our weekly, you know, dick conversation. But, you know, it never gets old because there's new people in the group and it's exciting. If more guys talked about, this is a total side tangent, but if mm-hmm. more guys talked more about how enhanced their sex lives get, either as a result of just stamina, more positions that are now accessible because you're not needing to move around a whole bunch of extra stuff, or that right. you literally do have more access to more of your junk, that's exciting. And if more doctors and everybody talked about, you know, these guys having these rushes of hormones, their erections are longer, bigger, stronger, whatever, holy crap, guys would be getting weight loss surgery, not to lose weight, but just to have a better sex life and a bigger dick, right? So bariatric bad boy. Sorry if I'm taking your podcast up a few notches.
No, no, Kirk, this is why this podcast exists, is, you know, is to be able to talk about these things, you know, from that male point of view. But one of the things that I have loved about this community is we are all, especially in our world in 2020, we all in this community seem to be able to support each other no matter what we look like, what our sexuality is, what ethnicity we are. We're all just kind of like, hey, you had surgery. Great. Way to go. The support to me has been amazing. I'm like I said, I'm sad to hear that, you know, on some of these other groups, I guess you have to, you know, police that and whether you should even be in that group if there are people in that group that way. But I have been so amazingly impressed at how well everybody supported everybody else, because we have this thing in common of this procedure exactly. and losing this weight. And that process, while we all have our journey, is similar enough that we are all, you know, there to support each other no matter what those other external things. We have this one thing that we have in common. And then especially in for the guys to be able to open up about it. You're right. We don't lead with our feelings most of the time. And sometimes you have to specifically get in there and talk about that. One thing that's been my podcast last week and even still this week, I just saw something on I was on Facebook with a guy who was posting last night about his partner not supporting him and basically kind of going, hey, you do what you've got to do. Boom. That's it. And no support from their spouse. Yeah. And whether it's your spouse, significant other, partner, whatever the case is. And I'm just like, man, that's sad, because having someone that's been so supportive, you know, is great to have that person in your corner. I can't imagine if, in my case, my wife wasn't supportive of it. But, you know, it's this place where you can come to hopefully rally around a group of guys who can say, hey, either I've had this or I haven't had that journey, but I'm interested in your journey too and what's happening.
Exactly. And people are, and guys, of course, are also no different than the women, and where they do a lot of comparison, right? So that's what's helpful, to have people like me who, you know, are almost eight years out, along with people who are still in the pre-surgical process, and having everyone in between all of those various steps in the group. Because if anyone has a question about, you know, was this normal for you, or did this happen to you, you know, 3 months or 9 months or 12 months, you know, it's helpful to have that information. And it's ideal if you have support at home, right? But I mean, but some people don't. And so at least if there's one place you can go in the world, even if it's just virtual right now, where you have people who kind of get it and will be that support for you, that's great. And then for the folks who even want to then kick it up another notch, what really has helped me and what I kind of contribute to my long-term success is the fact that not only am I super involved still with the community this far out, but I love attending the weight loss surgery conferences all over the country when we're allowed to have them. Yeah. Because then not only do you finally get to meet a lot of these people who you've pretty much shared your heart and soul with over the past year or 2 years or 3 years, but then you, in person, you actually then are surrounded by a group of people who just understand you. So when you guys go out to dinner together as a group, people are automatically sharing or ordering an appetizer, and you don't have to explain anything to anybody at the table. We all get it, and we all understand. And then everybody, you know, usually one of the nights at any of these conferences, one of the nights is usually like a formal night, you know, and people get dressed up, and like, you know, people who didn't go to their prom or anything because they were so ashamed or they weren't asked to go, all of a sudden just come out, you know, in their new whatever, you know, their new suit. Or we always, me and some of my, I call them my brother husbands. So I've made a lot of friends. If people ask me, you know, tell me how much you've lost, you know, as your weight loss. I'm like, well, you know, I've lost a lot of weight, but I'll tell you what I gained. I have lifetime friends now, you know, that I would have never met had it not been for weight loss surgery. So my really close circle, my group of weight loss surgery friends and family are all my brother husbands and sister wives.
Love it.
Because when we're all together, nobody can figure out who the hell is with who, or who's gay or who's straight, or, you know, because we are just so happy to be around each other, and we're having such a great time. And, you know, and where, you know, I was a person in the past, I hated to be touched. I didn't want people to feel my fat or my roll or whatever. You know, it's like, you know, we're hugging, and, you know, it's just a fantastic feeling. But what how that all helps keep me on track is, every year or every two or three times a year, I have something to look forward to, of meeting all of my friends and seeing all my people, and reasons for getting dressed up. And so, you know, on those days where I may want to, you know, do a little, you know, too much eating or too much grazing, I think about, well, how do I want to look in my kilt, you know, on formal night? I want to look good. So I was like, nope, I'm sticking to the plan. Or if I'm speaking now I've even, for me, I've gone from attending national conferences to actually speaking at national conferences. So there's even more sort of, I don't want to call it pressure, but it's just like, I'm more cognizant of, hey, I don't want to be up on a stage talking about, you know, weight loss surgery and success and whatever without, you know, being accountable for my own personal behavior. So I really try to make sure that I'm always aware that everything that I'm doing is that I'm practicing what I preach. And I really kind of attribute that to why I may have longer term success than some folks, because even when it got hard, I never abandoned the community. If anything, that's when I drew them in closer. Some people will automatically just leave the community because they're ashamed. And like I mentioned at the beginning of this, that I left shame in the biohazard bed. So I don't have an excuse to disappear or ghost because of shame. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a great motivation. Some people are like, hey, my motivation is staying healthy for my kids, or, you know, hey, and my motivation is staying healthy for myself. Well, I'm all of those things, but plus I feel like I have a lot that I still want to give back to the community, and I really kind of feel like it's my calling. So that's how it all kind of came together, and that's how I think why having groups like Bariatric Bad Boys are important, and having national conferences are important, and having podcasts and YouTube channels and all of the things that, for me, it's like the more people that hear about this and the less stigma we can attach them in having feelings and having weight loss surgery, then I'm all for it.
Well, Kirk, I like I said, I really appreciate, you know, what you put out there and the information you put out, and especially everything that you've talked about, because it is to me, it was, I went through that first year, and coming up on that, I hadn't really been in the community other than my surgical group. And that's when I started investigating, and I'm like, are there other people out here? And then you open it up and go, oh my goodness, there is this whole place of people who are talking about this and doing that. And it's been great. And now I'm looking forward to when we get to do this again, I'm going to come to one of these surgical things, you know, or the conventions, because this sounds like a blast already. So I'm excited about that.
Well,
I mean,
it's already scheduled.
We did the walk.
It's on the calendar for next
year.
Is it?
All right. Well, good. We'll make plans. Oh, yeah. That'll work out. So, Kirk, just in talking to you, and again from your posts, I know I can do this, and we can have a little fun with this. The most annoying thing to me on any of the support groups or whatever is someone who week two or week three after surgery goes, so what am I supposed to be eating now? And they post that question. It drives me nuts. I worked so hard to read all the materials, go to all the classes. Like, you have to do all the stuff. And I'm like, this is going to be my life, and I need to do this. And I'm just amazed at people who have, like, you paid money or your insurance paid money, and you went under the knife, and you're at week two, and you're asking what you should be doing. I mean, right. does it make you crazy? It makes me crazy.
Yes and no.
Okay. I mean, if I'm off on this, I'm there, but it just, I just, you know, and I'm not a super detail guy, but I just went, well, right. I know this is important, and I got to start this right. And I got to know all my number and all my things. And I've got to be ready for this, especially in those weeks right after. Yes. And it just seems like there are people out there who expected, like, okay, I had surgery, so why haven't I lost 100 pounds in the first week?
Exactly. Well, so it doesn't bug me as much as maybe as it used to, just because now that I've had more access to a lot more people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, initially when somebody were to say that, I would be like, what the hell? I mean, I read every binder, every notebook, I had every folder printed out. I had notes, you know, I had like all everything pretty much memorized, you know, so I was, you know, ready. So what I have learned from all of my involvement with folks in these groups is sometimes usually when I see that, my very first question to them is, well, what surgical group or what type of program are you enrolled in? Because I found that some folks are in programs that are pretty comprehensive. Like mine was very comprehensive. I paid out of pocket for my surgery, but my out of pocket surgery program included a lot of education on the front end. But then there was also 2 years of pretty comprehensive support post surgery. So, you know, my program was a pretty good wraparound, you know, kind of, you know, surgery center of excellence, you know, kind of model, where I found there are some people who go to surgical places where it's we're going to crank out, you know, 5 or 10 surgeries a day. You know, once we have your money or your insurance money, you're kind of on your own kind of thing. So I tried it before I kind of jump to any conclusion about the person's dedication to their journey. I asked them about, like, well, tell me a little bit about the program you're in. Like, what does it look like? Or whatever. But I never ask people, like, well, what country did you have your surgery in? Because that's a dangerous territory in terms of just a disclaimer, I'm a huge advocate for surgical services in Mexico. And sometimes people will say, oh, where did you go? Mexico, you know, and have your surgery. That's why you didn't have any instructions. And that's why you were kind of just left in the dark. it's like, no, that's not usually the case anymore in Mexico. In fact, you know, medical tourism is huge down there. So if anything, they actually are having better safety outcomes and less infection rates than we're having up here in the United States. So I asked them more of like, well, sort of, where did you have it? Like, well, what type of program was it? Like, you know, did you, are you getting, was there care or instructions before? And did, you know, is there some type of care that you're going to be getting afterwards? Because sometimes for some folks, a lot of the process, especially leading up to surgery, is so kind of already all consuming to them, just the fear and the anxiety about going under the knife. They forget that they may have been given a binder or a folder or an electronic file that had this information. And once you, I ask a few questions like, well, do you remember reading anything that might have said like clear liquids, right, and then full liquids? And it sometimes it helps trigger like, oh yeah, I remember seeing something like that. But what's nice is if we do have one of these folks that, you know, is completely in the dark and they went to one of those surgeons that was like, hey, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 in and out, no questions, no pre-op testing, you know, whatever, we're just going to reduce the size of your stomach and you're going to go home. Then there's a lot more than enough people who have materials that they can share. But the piece of advice that I always give and what anyone should give when they're in a group like this is to always ask them, you know, well, what did your doctor say? Or refer them back to their surgeon if they have these questions. But if they are truly in one of these situations where they've been kind of dropped, then there's enough folks that are in good, decent programs that are more than willing to share what their surgeon suggested as their post-operative diet.
All right. Well, I'll make sure I'm nicer I've not posted anything on these people. I will say,
no, but
the one that I'm talking
about.
You're
allowed to have those thoughts, though.
Well, I will say, Kirk, the one that I'm talking about is actually the support group from my surgery group, which is a center of excellence. Oh, yeah. And I know the paces they put you through.
You know what they went through.
So right. that was the one where I'm literally showing my wife, I'm looking at the Facebook. I said, do you see what they just posted? You know, I said, do you know? And she knows. Cause I mean, like we had all the stuff,
right.
The class you had.
So
to
you
go
know what's through. Happening in that situation then, right? You know, what's
right
happening
in
there.
That one.
It's not that
that's
they don't
I'm
know
like.
What they're supposed to be eating.
Right.
They are shopping for answers. They're going to wait until someone says, oh, I had pizza on my second week. They're like, oh, okay. That means I can have pizza on my second week. That they're shopping for answers there.
They're looking for someone to give them a pass on something.
To justify. It's the same people, too, who also are like, oh, well, I'm supposed to be on liquids, but I broke down and had a double cheeseburger. You know, am I going to die? And it's like, well, I don't know. You may. But I try to say in the most kind of pragmatic way.
Sure.
In my experience, based on what I have seen over the course of, you know, my time in the weight loss surgery community, folks who are already pushing the limits, whether it's during their preoperative diet or their postoperative diet, and they're already transitioning faster than they're supposed to, or they're eating things that aren't, you know, a part of their surgeon's postoperative instructions, those people who feel the need to push those limits so early in the process are almost always the same people who are complaining about stalling, not losing weight, gaining weight, who end up weighing more than they did prior to surgery. And so I just try to be honest with them. I'm like, based on my experience, if you're pushing those limits or you're shopping for answers, you are going to more than likely fall into that category, that bucket of people who are not going to be successful. So you need to go turn in on yourself here. And if psychotherapy wasn't a part of your program, then you need to engage in psychotherapy, whether you believe it or not, because there's something about you, either on a conscious level or a subconscious level, that's already setting yourself up for sabotage and failure. And there must be a part of you that thinks that that's what you deserve. And although that's where you feel probably the most comfortable, you may need somebody to navigate you out of that mindset and help you sort of tap in to the things that are going to kind of get you past those desires or those, you know, those triggers that make you want to totally kind of go off track or look for somebody who's going to tell you what you can eat. And sometimes, you know, that's their significant other. Their significant other could be sitting here saying, are you sure you don't want this ice cream sandwich? Oh, come on. You can have an ice cream sandwich, you know, that kind of thing. So it's, you know, that's a whole nother topic, right? But it's those folks who are asking or acting clueless that are most likely are going to be the people also complaining about being stalling or not losing weight as fast as somebody else or any of those things. But do you want to hear what my pet peeve though is? And I'm probably the most chill person ever. My big pet peeve is the people who post in the groups who are, you know, somewhere in their weight loss surgery journey have had some type of success. But then also during the course of their success have also sort of gotten, you know, off track. and they'll say things like, oh, you know, does anybody have a copy of the pouch test? The pouch test for me, especially in a vertical sleeve gastrectomy group, drives me insane.
What, because I don't even know what test, this is. You got to tell me about this.
Oh gosh. Well, you'll see it referred to as the pouch test or the pouch recess. And typically where you see it come up in the groups is when someone has been eating pretty much off track, right? And they've gained 10, 15, 20 pounds. And when you've got when your anatomy has been altered so much to where you can only, you know, eat 4 to 6 ounces of something, it takes work to gain 10 or 20 pounds. So all of a sudden, instead of being accountable for whatever behavior contributed to that weight gain, they completely gloss over that and just want information on the pouch test. And a pouch test is this really super, super restrictive diet where you kind of go back to the basics, quote unquote. So you'll go back through your pre and post-surgical eating pattern, but instead of week one, week two, week three, you're like day one and two, you're drinking nothing but clear liquids. And then day two or three, you're doing maybe full liquids. And then day four or five, you got to eat maybe a few vegetables and a bite of some type of solid protein. And after this pouch test, quote unquote, people, you know, like, I lost 5 pounds in overnight, or I lost 10 pounds in 3 days. Well, no, the pouch test literally is you're just starving yourself, essentially. It's this bad diet that literally it gives your body a chance just to eliminate all of your feces and other waste in your system. And maybe because you're not eating a crap ton of fast food and pizza and candy and whatever, you're not retaining as much water. So and because you're drinking tons of water during this pouch test, that of course you're going to weigh 10 pounds less after 3, 4, 5 days because you've taken, you know, 4 or 5 craps and you've been replacing it with nothing but liquid. Sure. So it's a fad diet. And then after the pouch test, 2 days back into eating, they've gained it all back, but they don't come back and say, oh, you know, I gained the 10 pounds that I lost during my 5 day pouch test and put myself through hell, you know, starving myself. So the fact that they're even doing a quote unquote pouch test in a sleeve group drives me insane because sleeve folks don't have pouches. People who have gastric bypass have pouches and they do it too. Don't get me wrong. You'll see the same types of posts, but it's fad dieting. So fad dieting post weight loss surgery is my biggest pet peeve. And what I like to do is not shame people because of it, but I'd like to say, hey, no, let's not focus on what fad diet you can start right now to drop that weight. You can do things to course correct and get back on track. I'm totally fine with using the term back on track. And I'm one of those people also, it's like when they're like, okay, Monday, I'll get back on track. No, you could get back on track. Even if you ate a lumberjack breakfast, you could get back on track at lunch. There's no rule that says you have to wait until next Friday or next Monday. That's the old you that you left in the biohazard bag. Remember, the new you is, hey, I had a pretty big breakfast. I'm going to think like a normal average weight person, and I might have a lighter lunch. And then that's the end of it. There's no, I did good, I did bad, I'm good, I did bad, I'm a success, I'm a failure, you know, or I have to wait till next week to be successful because I've already blown this week. No, you can course correct now. So for me, fad diets post weight loss surgery is my biggest pet peeve. And then when people start talking about the pouch test, that's when I really have to just sort of, then it kind of gets, for me, it's like a political back and forth. And you just can't convince people that, you know, there are people who are very pro pouch test because they like the kind of mental it forces them to have. But for me, that's, you're just going back into yo-yo dieting at that point. And so,
because you've already got the tool.
You do. So that's that's my rant. Oh my gosh. If you want to hear me screaming at my computer, come across as Zen online and Kumbaya and, you know, Switzerland, you know, it's like, man, the effing pouch test is just one thing that is like one thing I wish if I could have the miracle cure in weight loss surgery, other than, of course, wishing everybody happy, healthy, long lives and lots of success, is right. the fact that we could remove the pouch test from the planet, the universe.
I want to thank Kirk Hunt for his time. We probably talked for the better part of 90 minutes during our conversation, just having some fun and enjoying each other's company. He's just such a great guy, and as you can hear, so active in supporting the weight loss community through bariatrics and all of the things that he does. We are going to put a link in the show notes to the Bariatric Bad Boys support group on Facebook. It is a men's only group, so but you can go there, you fill out a couple of questions when you sign up, and then you can be part of the Bariatric Bad Boys. I know I am, and I really enjoyed it. It's honestly my favorite support group that I'm a part of on Facebook. I am a big supporter of the support groups because it's a place where you can be open, where you can ask questions and not feel stupid about it. We're all walking this journey together. And as you heard from our conversation, which is stuff I didn't know, that there are some people that don't get as much information as others in different programs. I was amazed at that because I kind of thought it was the same across the board. But apparently there are probably some of you out there who had kind of maybe a great procedure, but didn't get a lot of knowledge about what you should be doing before and after surgery from the place where you got the procedure done. So these support groups are there to help and support. And so I hope that you will jump in to one or more of these. You know what? You can also reach out here. If you have questions, we don't know everything. We're not medical professionals here, but we can help you answer a question maybe, or point you in the right direction, or point you to a support group where you can get some help and answer some questions. Or if you just want to talk, if you just want to say, hey, this is what I'm going through right now, you can reach out to us via email. You can even text us. All the details are in our show notes. You can also go to the bariatricbros.com page, our website. We're there. As we said, we're on socials at Bariatric Bros on Facebook and Instagram and more. And you can always send us a DM. We would love to hear from you. So anyway, that's going to be it for this time. Thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little while. Again, if you want to, email, text us, if you will, like and follow, review the podcast, share it out to your friends, click the thing, put it on your socials. We want you to know that we're just trying to get this information out to more people so that more guys can live a better life after having bariatric surgery. I hope that you have a good week, and I am excited about talking to you next time. So make sure that you're here next time for the next edition of the Bariatric Bros podcast. I'm Mike Alley. You keep living that bariatric life and eating like men.